Well, folks, I'm back. I've come outdoors, one of my favourite walks here, and I've been thinking about what's happened in Bristol, where Black Lives Matter and the lefties have torn down that statue of somebody called Coulson. He was involved in the slave trade back in the day, and they've thrown some chains around it and brought it to the ground, dragged it through the streets, thrown it into a river. And I thought, like, it's a funny thing because I bet most of the normal people in Bristol who wandered around and saw that statue every day, they probably didn't actually have a clue who it was. But yet these did, the political ideologues, they did know who it was. They had its card marked, if you like. And it reminded me last week I had to go into Newcastle, and I don't do that very often. But when I did go in last week, I paid much more attention to the architecture, because I'm more aware of culture and history and things than I used to be. And I stood there looking at all of the amazing architecture in Newcastle, which mainly goes back to the early 20th and the 19th century, especially the Theatre Royal, And when I got back home, I looked it up, because I haven't really got much of a clue about architecture, and I looked it up and see what style it was and what it was trying to say. And the Theatre Royal is actually a neoclassical style. And I thought that was interesting, because it harks back. It was built right at the heart of the empire. And then it harks back to Rome, to the classical style of Rome. And so all of these businessmen who are making a killing on coal and on the British Empire, and Newcastle, Glasgow and Edinburgh were a sort of triangle of industrial power in the north. And I thought it was really interesting that they hark back to the Roman Empire, the men at the time. So they were absolutely completely unapologetic about what it was they were doing. And even then they were then looking back further in time to the Romans and saying, yeah, you were great, but we are greater. And there's actually a lot of similarities. And you look at the Georgian architecture, and it's very straight, it's very straight lines and organized, which is typical of the English, especially, mentality, of course, empiricism and all of that. But so was the Romans, if you think about just straight roads, regardless, straight roads across mountains, doesn't matter. There was a similar outlook there. But really, the point here is that what they were talking about, what they were, the way they were thinking of themselves, is that they were the winners of history. They'd conquered, and they'd built these things for glory and for empire. This, in other words, this is what you're looking at here, is a master morality. And it's funny, because they just didn't mind whatsoever. I mean, they didn't apologize. And you look at what's happened in with Black Lives Matter and Antifa and this whole new narrative. You know, they frame it and they'll use words like oppressor and white supremacy, but really, you know, it's just the losers' version of history. It's just that there's winners and losers, and they are the losers. And you can see the loser of Black Lives Matter, like, triumphantly putting his knee on the neck of that statue and smashing it down. It wasn't about equality. That's not what the victory is. It's their loser, the losers of history, triumphant over the winners, which is a completely warped and inside out worldview. But what I think's interesting is that the average Europeans aren't aware of it, or the bulk in the centre don't seem to understand what's at play here. Even in the realms of the politicians, the centre ground, it's difficult, because you have to make a stand, and you're going to have to say, you're going to have to own the fact that you are on the winning side of history, or not. But if you're white and if you're European, you're never going to be allowed to be in the loser's camp. Because what they see, if you go back to Coulson, if you go back to the Theatre Royal in Newcastle, it was all built on glory. It was built on power and the will to power. And at the end of the day, you're going to have to just own that and say, yeah, because we were the winners. and you are the losers. And that's just the way the world is. Because what we have now is this, from the centre, we've got this dishonest narrative where it's kind of like, well, yeah, that was a phase of our history. Now it's just historical and we look back on it. And I mean, yeah, okay, well, where do you stand on that? Are you now in the camp of the losers, or are you in the camp of the winners? Like, how are you looking at this? And what they'll say, and this is eventually why they got rid of slavery, is a liberal thing where it's like, well, we're all equal. Well, no, that's not actually how it's playing out. That's not what's really going on. It's the centre ground doesn't know what to do about this. They don't know whether they should be with the winners or the losers. Whereas, of course, if you're unashamed as a white person, you will be lumped in with the white supremacy or the winning side, of the winners of history. This is also why they'll never accept it. If you confront the centre is confused over this, but if you try to make the argument about how the criminals, stop and search, or that white women are raped more by that demographic, or all of it, if you then try and play the victim narrative, white privilege is another one where you say, well, I don't actually have any white privilege because all of these people, all of these other groups earn more than me, and white people throughout the ages have had, you know, we went down the mines and we had it hard as well. And you'll notice that they really don't care about it, and it's because they know that fundamentally you are on the winning team. You are on the winner, the winning side of history, not the losers. That's the way they framed it. So they'll never accept you into that camp. And I think you just have to accept that. And you have to say, and when you do that, you also notice that you just don't have to care. You don't have to apologize at all. Because you can say, I don't care if you were oppressed. I don't care that you're aggrieved. I don't care that your people had it hard. Like, they should have just done better. It sounds quite a harsh and brutal way to go about it, but there's no apology there whatsoever. As Jonathan Bowden said, we're not sorry. And I think this is what he meant as well. Because he also warned about playing the victim here. And you have to you just have to stick your chin up and your chest out and say, we don't care. We don't care about your narrative. There's winners and losers in life. That's the way it is. That's the natural order of things. And what we see now, essentially, is a revolt of the losers. So, just some thoughts as I'm out on a wander. Thanks for listening, folks. I'll see you later.